have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, y'all. It's Tuesday again. You can get involved by calling 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, and my biblical question, a doozy, my biblical question for this week, are you a memory worshiper? Are you a memory worshiper? Is you a memory worshiper? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, busy, whether you're on the run from the DIA people, whatever they are, the Border Patrol folks, or you are whatever, or maybe you're not on the run, you're just making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or maybe you're running from the ICE people, because they're everywhere now. And if you're scared to go to school, you're afraid to go to work, you're afraid to go to church, and you're illegal, you should be scared. I don't blame you. You should be scared because you're leaving here. I don't know where you're going, but you're leaving here. But whatever you're doing, you can be listening to the show. No matter where you are, you can podcast, you can listen live by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's being reported. I don't know if y'all know about this yet, but according to X, yesterday 1,179 ICE arrest. Have you ever heard of such amazing things happening in the country? Finally, somebody made a promise. I promise you. And he's keeping his word so far. Isn't that amazing? And in a record amount of time, he's only been there a week, and it seemed like a year already. God bless the great white hope. And so for all the people you've chosen to work for him. Anyway, It's Tuesday. And every Tuesday. And I know a lot of you really loving Country Western Tuesday. And you are remembering, as I always do, how great America was at one time. Talk about the good old days. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days, right? Remember when America was really, really amazing. And it was during the time I was living on the plantation. It was during that time. But, and so country and Western music at one time was amazing. Now they have done the DEI in country and Western music, it ain't the same no more. It ain't the same. Ever since they let Beyonce and all those people DEI, country and Western, it ain't the same no more. But I still appreciate country and Western music, a portion of it. And it's amazing. And today is Country and Western Tuesday.
Well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time, because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe he'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so he could lean on me. Forgive, forgiveness, righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. Amazing. Very nice song. It's amazing that Anchor Baby played this song today, because I was thinking earlier this morning, I was thinking, well, I hope he played that song.
I know you were thinking that.
Amazing, spirit to spirit. Amazing song. I was on Sunday after the fellowship, one of the kids, a little cute little girl, I can't even think of her name now, and I regret it, 8 years old. She came over and she asked me after the meeting, does Satan, she's like, Jesse, does Satan own the world, on the earth? Does he own the earth? And I said, well, I guess some kids in her classroom had said that. And she was like, no, the earth is made by God. So I told her that the earth is made by God. But Satan's children are running the earth, and that's why it's in such a condition that it's in now, the children of evil. And so I reflect on that when, because she understood what I was saying, really. 8 years old, amazing. And so I reflect. Do you know her name, Nick?
Oh, from church.
Uh-huh.
I can say her first name?
Yeah, first
Layla.
Name. Yeah, Layla. Hey, Layla. And she was like, so she understood. And she's like, oh, the people are evil. They're the one messing up. It's not, God didn't make it that way, right? I'm like, no. And I was thinking about the way things are on the earth. Misery. Human beings hated one another. Murder, raping, all kind of everything you can think of that's evil is happening. High food prices, gas prices, everything is just screwed up. And I was thinking, I reflected, I was thinking that it's all due to human nature. It's due to human nature that on earth is nothing but misery. I'm like, as I reflected on that, that's amazing to me. If you really think about the way things are and what human beings have done to make it that way, from government, families, friends, workers, just plain old people. Human nature is so wicked. And so human nature is worse than what I can. You're not going to know what I mean. And you hear my words and you get an idea, right? But you won't know what I mean until you can see the evil in you as each individual. That's why God said the heart must change, because the heart is wicked. And no one knows the wickedness of another person's heart. And so it's worse than what I can say. But if you really, really look around Earth, and that's all around the world, not just here in America, but if you just look around, pay attention, not only to what is happening in you, but look at other human beings and pay attention to their nature, you will understand why so much destruction. There is no love in human beings, right? And on Earth, they have turned Earth into hell. Because Earth can be paradise right here. You don't have to wait until you die to find paradise. Matter of fact, I would suggest you not wait until you leave your body. You should die from the ego, but not physical death, to think that, oh, somehow or another, you're going to find paradise after you die. Physical death. But I would think about that, and I was thinking how evil things are, how bad. And the more because I do lots of counseling around the world, from people literally around the world, and all races, male, female, young and old, family and individuals, because you can get counseling by phone, Skype, or walk-in, right? So by phone and Skype, we're counseling with people around the world. And the problem is the same. Situations might be a little different, but the cause is the same. And the same is due to human nature being evil. And as a result, they brought evil upon this earth. And there's nothing but suffering. People murder one another or others out of jealousy, envy, and strife. Or you could be mad at your neighbor and start fighting with your neighbor, end up murdering your neighbor and getting murdered by your neighbor because of the anger and the evil nature. Or couples can want to break up. They'll meet someone else and they'll want to break up. And if the breakup is difficult or one or the other doesn't want to break up, Satan will make you kill the other one, thinking that the new person is going to be better. And then Satan makes you just hide the body right under the porch or in the backyard. Or Satan will tell you to cut up the body, put the body parts in a trash can, of a trash bag, throw it out in the trash can or take it down in the woods and bury it. And Satan will make you be mean to your own children, your own flesh and blood children. He can literally make you be mean to them, lack of patience, lack of love, and then recreate them in your image. And the kids grow up just like you. Satan can make you judge yourself and others in your mind without opening your mouth. Satan can make you say things about people that's not even true at all, but you'll get a thrill from just saying it, especially if you're gossiping with someone else and they love the fact that you're gossiping. Oh, God, you go crazy. Satan made men, fallen men, Satan made men become cruel to women and make men think that their responsibility is to control the woman. Really. And it made them feel like they're men, when they do that, but they're really weak and pathetic. But it's all in the mind. The misery upon this earth is mind-blowing. I had no idea, to be honest, folks. I knew things were bad. I knew things had changed. But I had no idea how much they had changed. It's like nothing is working for you. Your religion is not working. Your fake love is not working. Your anger is not working for you. Your so-called friendships are not working for you. Relationships are not working. Nothing works. And yet you keep trying. Nothing in you tell you, hey, give up trying. Just give up everything you know. Drop all your little standards. Drop all what you've been taught and trained. And you don't know that in dropping everything you've learned, you're going to be free. Then you can live. You're afraid to drop what you know because you think that you're losing you if you drop all that you know, all that you've learned. And you're so blind, you don't see that all your life you have not been able to live up to what you've been taught. You have not been able to live up to it, but yet you keep trying. How come you don't know? Well, you know what? I've been trying to be right. I've been trying to be good. I've been trying to be fair to people and myself all my life, and I've not been able to do it. Something is wrong. Maybe what I've been told was wrong. I've been trying to be a good Christian. I've been going to church. I even say to, this is what you're not telling yourself. I even say to the military people, I appreciate your service. Thank you for your service. And get a thrill and then go back to crying. And you don't question anything. And then you keep getting married over and over and over again, somehow or another thinking that that's going to work. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. Only a few realize, you know what, something is wrong with me. Something is wrong here. Let me look elsewhere. And that's when things will start to change. If you have no love, you have nothing. And the one thing that human beings do not have is love. They don't know that love conquers all. Not mama's love, not emotional love, not love, especially something from someone, but love, which is the nature of God. In the good old days, for some reason, that was pretty much known back then, more so. And it wasn't that the people knew it all the way, but at least they had some clue. And things were not as bad as they are today. Satan can tell you to slap your own child on Facebook Live, and you'll do it. All for a thrill. That's the only reason you're doing it. Then Satan will lie to you and say, oh, you're doing it because you're trying to discipline. There is a need to discipline your children when they're young, but a right way. I want to give you an example of even back in 1968, the way that people thought, some people. 1968, when I graduated from high school, what the? That sounds like so long ago now. It sounds like 1800. Can you imagine 1968, I graduated high school? And it just seemed like years ago now. What the? But this is from Instagram. Thoughts on how a husband and a wife outlook on family. Oh, at least this husband and wife outlook on family. And this is from Instagram. This excerpt is from 1968 documentary. 1968 was such a fun year for me. I was 18. I was leaving home because I had been told all my life, at 18, you're out of here. Now, think about that. I'm down in Alabama on a plantation. And for the most part, that's all I knew. I've gone in and out of Indiana off and on, but I was like, where I'm going at 18? I don't know. I don't care. But you're leaving here. They said, we taught you how, you know how to work now. As long as you can work, you're going to be fine. Okay. I guess. And at 18, I graduated in May 1968. And July, I believe, maybe before that, but July, between May and July, I went up to Indiana. 18, got a job at a steel mill, Inland Steel. It was the hardest job I until this day I ever had. And it was harder than working in fields and everything. But I said, I'm going to work 2 weeks to make one paycheck, and I'll move to L.A. And I did. 1968 was such a, because I moved to L.A., and because I was moving into a big city, because I was moving to a big city, I didn't know what to expect. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. It was different. I made so many mistakes. But it was fine. So I want you to hear the thoughts of a husband and a wife and their outlook on the family back in 1968. This is an excerpt from 1968 documentary where a wife and a husband share their perspectives on family relationships and marriages. Watch this.
White man would stop and realize and think that the black man feels the same about his wife as he feels about his, I think it would be a better understanding too. The black man don't want his wife to get up and go to work every morning and punch a time card right along with him. He wants his wife home just like the white man wants his wife at home.
Because a father represents the law in the home, and a mother represents love in the home. You take when a child come in and he's hurt or bruised or something, he goes to mama. But when he come in and he has a problem, he goes to daddy, you know, because he figured daddy is the symbol of law. Daddy is a symbol. He comes to daddy because daddy can help him.
And I don't think it's good that a mother have to get out and work and leave her children at home. It makes bad children. It causes some children to go astray. It's too much freedom, whereas there's a girl in the home. It causes illegitimate pregnancy in the home from the girl on the girl. And just any number of things that it costs when a parent have to go out and leave her children at home by themselves.
1968. Can you believe that that's how black people used to think? Remember, I told you, black people haven't always been DEI. They have not always been relying on the government, relying on their so-called black leaders, giving up thinking and doing for themselves. It wasn't always that way. When I moved out here in 1968, I ain't know nothing about I got to rely on the government or I got to do it. I just knew it. I had to find a job. And I found a job as soon as I got here at a supermarket, Better Food Market, supermarket. Black people, at one point, were independent thinkers, believe it or not. It changed with the so-called civil rights movement, which was civil wrong, because blacks, not all the blacks, but most of the blacks have not been able to, have not overcome. They could overcome if they wanted to, but they have not. They have completely lost their independence. Can you imagine that people follow Al Sharpton? Think about that. Because they think they're against something for nothing. But Blacks used to believe that the family, the husband and the wife, they had shame about out of wedlock birth. They love to work and take care of themselves. I know it's hard to believe that for generations and generations, because all you have seen since you've been on the earth is Blacks begging and whining and robbing and stealing and murdering and raping and doing all kind of crazy stuff. But this is how they used to think. So Derek, my producer, asked me, how much money did I make at Inland Steel? I can't remember, Derek. I worked 2 weeks. I made enough to move to California. But I don't remember. But anyway. Grandpa, tell me about the good old day. The earth is hell on earth because of human nature, not because God made it that way. That's why Christ said, I came to overcome the world, not to condemn the world. You can overcome the world and be alive and have perfect peace. Don't let anyone tell you that you cannot have perfect peace on earth while you live. You really can't. And perfect peace is not something you can make up. You can't fake it. Because if you fake it, you're still going to cry at night. You're still going to be lonely. You're still going to look for love. You're still going to be miserable. Suicidal thoughts, right? Hell is on earth because of human nature. Evil works through human beings. And angry people don't trust them at all. I don't care if it's mama. And by the way, folks, you are not obligated to your mama. Whoever told you that and a problem with mama lied to you. She set you up to be her DEI or be your DEI. I remember when I moved out here at 18, I mean, just one paycheck, and I moved from Chicago, Indiana, Gary, Indiana, to L.A. The flight to L.A. one way was $50. Think about that. Now it takes $50 to go to the airport in an Uber. And it takes $50 to park at the airport a day in some cases. I'm being told more than $50 now, or more than in some cases. What a mess, huh? Human beings are evil. Why don't y'all see that human beings are evil? Oh, you don't see it because you won't see it in you. It's in you. And I want to warn you, do what you want. Anyone that has anger is lost in their imagination. Stay away from them. Don't hate them. Don't be angry at them. They cannot see. But stay away. I don't care who it is. They will eventually try, in most cases, succeed at destroying you. It's a spiritual battle. What the? When I come back, your phone calls, and I want to give you a perfect example of the good old days. Another one besides the one we just... Oh, those people were Black that we just played for you. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment.
My cousin, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, like, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on. And people want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Thank you, Chris.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you. Just because a lot of, we don't have more, most guys that can, you know what I'm saying, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you're going to see, man, God is with us and all is well. I have sat before you, life and death. Choose life. Don't spend the rest of your life being miserable, being in tears of fear or doubt or worry or feeling like you don't have a friend or you don't have nobody. You can have 100,000 people around you 24 hours a day and have nobody. Really, have nobody. Because that's not going to fulfill you. You can have people praising you all day long and have nobody. Or you can have people downgrading you, trying to hurt you all day long and have nobody. The hate report is coming up at 9. TheHateReport.com from 9 to 11 a.m. And at 11, Joel Friday TV. He black! Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And at noon, The American Anchor Baby at 12 Pacific time. The American Anchor Baby. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Lola. Her name was Lola. Lola Falana. Lola from Virginia. Lola, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, Lola.
That's good. I'm calling honestly just to say thank you. I started listening to you October of 2023, and I honestly did not know what you were teaching, what it was preparing me for. I used to be really emotional about everything, and my dad passed 2 hours ago, and I feel nothing, and I feel peace. The world has caved in, and I feel nothing.
I see what you're saying. When you say he died, expired 2 hours ago, mean like 2 hours ago today?
Yeah, today. He's still in his deathbed.
Really?
And I'm looking at him, and I feel nothing.
Perfect,
the
Lola.
Thoughts came, and they just go. The worst thoughts have come. I just watch them, and they go. When I cry, I cry, and then I just drop it.
Yes.
And I feel, I get what you say now. Thoughts just come and go.
Yes.
I feel nothing.
Yes.
I'm able to be by myself. I'm fine. I'm back at work. Everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm fine. I'm so fine.
And
I feel nothing.
And they're the one crazy. But they think
and
you're
the
crazy.
Ones crazy.
Right.
Exactly. And my mom's putting on a show. She's crying. I know why she's crying. It's just the attention.
Yes.
but I'm fine. Jesse, thank you. People, listen to Jesse. Listen to what he's saying. It is possible.
Yeah.
You just stay silent, do the silent prayer, and all is well, even when the worst happens.
Absolutely.
Everything's fine. Jesse, thank you.
Lola.
Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome. Stay with it. Stay with it.
Yes.
Stay with it. I'm telling you the wisdom, the life to come that will be revealed to you, words cannot express. So stay with it.
It's so beautiful. This is love. This is love.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jesse. I appreciate it. Thank you for your team. Thank you for everything. Thank you.
You're welcome. And stay with it. And may your father's soul rest in peace.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jesse.
Amazing. Thank you, Lola. You can change, folks. You can't change you, but the Spirit of the Father will change you. From death to life. And I don't care what you've done, how much of a low life you are, how nasty you are and mean and resentful and revengeful and angry and insecure. I don't care how many relationships you've gone through. I don't care how much of a beta male you've been. Oh, female beta. I don't care what you're doing, how low life you think you are, and how people judge you for being a so-called low life. I don't care when you did it, 100 years ago or this morning. All of that can be wiped away from you, and you can have a brand new life. You're not stuck. You're only stuck if you believe the lie that you're stuck. You do not have to live in your misery. I don't care when it happened. And the reason I tell you this, because in counseling, I had no idea what evil, the things that evil do to people and make them think and make them believe lies, and they carry out the lies because they think that it's them. There's nothing that has happened to you or through you that you cannot overcome and have a brand new life. And forget about what the world thinks. The world is evil. I just told you, people of the world are evil. People judge, not God. God does not judge, will not judge, ain't gonna judge you. All your sins have been wiped away. People judge, not God. And you think just because people are judging you that God is judging you. It's a lie. God does not judge. He loves you. He wiped all your sins away. He made you free. He conquered death for you. Isn't that something? And you think that he judged you because other people judge you. Evil people judge. I was thinking about Pete Hegseth. Is that his name, Nick?
Yes. Hegseth.
Hegseth. When he was going through his confirmation hearing, you had the evil, nasty Democrats up there attacking him about his personal life, not about his ability to do the job. And I'm like, look at these demons judging what Pete have gone through. Like they're all clean and holy. If they were clean and holy, they wouldn't even ask him about his personal life. But they're demons judging demons. I want you to pay attention to people who judge you. Look at their lives, and you'll think, what in the world? What's in your mind you think you should judge? Let me go to Brenda out of Maine. Brenda, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse.
Hey, Brenda.
I can't tell you how much I changed, but I want to give you an example, and then I have a question at the end.
All right.
I spent 2 days with my boyfriend for the last 3.5 years. We fought every time we were together, If we were together for 1 hour, we'd fight. If we were together for 2 days, it was murder.
Brenda, speak right into your phone. Are you on a speaker or something?
No, I'm all set. How about now?
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So I spent 2 days with him, and I talked to you about 2 weeks ago, and the change that has been coming from within me by the grace of God has been so incredible that I spent 2 days with him, and we did not fight one bit. And he said, I can't believe how much you've changed. And I didn't think like, oh, this is great. This, I just thought, okay, yeah,
yes.
Okay. I just knew it. It was just, this is the way it was. It is what it is. So I was at his house and I was watching a Stephen King movie. And I'm not into Stephen King, but I live in Maine. Stephen King lives about 40 minutes from me. And he filmed his movies in Maine a lot. So one of his movies he filmed was called The Storm of the Century, and I said, you know, I think I might watch this because I'm very familiar with where he filmed. So I'm not going to tell you the whole story. If you have not seen The Storm of the Century, you have to see it because it is so spiritual, and I have to give him credit because I didn't think he was like that. At the end of the movie, there was a guy in the movie that was the devil. He tormented the town. There was a storm. We have horrible blizzards up here. That's why they call it The Storm of the Century. There was a horrible blizzard, and he scared these people. He did horrible things to these people. But at the end of the movie, he goes, I will leave you alone if you give me what you want. What he wanted was one of the kids, because he said, I'm getting old, and I need to have another one take my place, and I want one of your kids. He said, if you don't give me one of your kids, I'm going to kill all of you and the kids. I'm going to make you walk all into the ocean, whatever, whatever. They all believed him, but there was one guy in there that said, don't believe him. He's a liar. And they go, but look what he's done. Don't believe him. And the guy goes up to his wife, the only one in the whole... This was
make
like
a long story, been a long story short?
The guy that believed he was wrong said to his wife, he's lying. The moral of the story is that when he said that, I said, he's right. You can't believe anything that Satan is saying. Can't believe it.
Right. Yeah.
And I got it. And now I look at Satan as, whenever there's a thought, just a little child bugging me. Just a little child bugging me. Has no power. Has nothing. It's just incredible what I believe now. But my question is that if I had the choice to change and believe what you're teaching, when someone starts a fight with me and the person gets angry or something, how can I not get angry at them when they have the choice to change too? How can I forgive them? How can I look at them and say, well, they can't help. I helped it. That's my question.
Well, if you can see, you will realize and you will understand, because that's what we need, understanding. Understanding will allow you to know that this person is not them. Something else is driving them, but they don't know that. They cannot see that it's not them. They believe it's them. They believe that anger is from them, that they create anger. So they just can't see it. If you understand that and your heart has changed from anger to love, then it will be impossible to get angry at them.
Okay.
Just understand they cannot see, and you see because you want to see, and the truth will only help those who welcome it. You have to welcome the truth into your life. Otherwise, it's not going to bother you. It's going to stay away from you. And so you want the truth. That's why you can see. This person may not be ready for the truth, and they cannot see.
So I have to forgive him and say, that's okay.
Yeah, just don't be angry at him because he can't see, but that doesn't mean you got to stay with him or anything. You don't have to put up with his hell.
Right, but I made that choice to change, so why wouldn't I get mad at them? They're not making that change.
You say, well, why wouldn't you get mad at him?
If I made the choice to make the change, why wouldn't I get mad at them that they're not making that change?
Because you don't have a right to get mad at anyone. Anyone that gets angry, that has anger, is separated from God. Anger
right.
Keeps you away from God. You would never know God at all if you decide to stay angry. Anger is of your father, the devil.
I know that. I know that.
So
I don't know if that's...
Maybe you wanted to change. Doesn't mean that they wanted it. And they have a right not to want it. If they don't want to change, leave them in their hell. But they'll hate them in their hell.
Okay. So just walk away.
Yes.
Don't associate with people like that if that's your choice.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because if I get mad, then that means I want them to change so we can be together or whatever. Okay,
right. You don't want them to change because it's the right thing. You want them to change so you can be with them. That's not love.
I got it. Okay.
All right, Brenda. Okay. Stay with it. All right?
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Amazing. Let me go to Dustin. I asked Dustin to call back yesterday. Dustin, out of Utah. Thanks for calling back. You're on the
air. Hold on. Hello. How are you, Jesse?
All is well. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Very nice. Yeah. So I want to tell the story that I was telling yesterday. And really quick, I want to preface this. This is not a trauma dump. It is a heartbreaking story, but I think the reason why I'm telling you this is because you talk a lot about how your thoughts and your feelings, like, they're not you. They're in some way like spirits that you identify with. And it correlates a lot with what you're talking about. So I'd love to share this. But anyway, I'll make it quick. I've always suffered, struggled, let's say, with mental health issues to the point where doctors and pharmaceuticals really let me down when I was a teenager, and I couldn't, by my own accord, not pursue that path. So when I turned 18, I got off pills. I naturally found myself to be a more spiritual person, and I started pursuing more spiritual and esoteric remedies to my issues. I grew up as an atheist, and I found God when I was 21. And God is everywhere. God is love. You know, God is the thing that is. But anyway, and like I said yesterday, and I'm just going to be very blunt about like what I've experienced and what I've struggled with.
And how old are you now?
I am 20. I'm going to be turning 28 this week, actually.
But how old are you now?
27.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, over the past 10 years, I have been reenacting and reliving memories, thought forms that have existed in my head ever since I was a small child. I had fantasies about brutally murdering myself, where I would be two people, one super, super angry, one super, super depressive, and I would be essentially punishing myself, torturing myself, usually with like a claw hammer or strangling myself brutally. For the punishment of existing and being a scourge upon the world. Anyway, about 6 months ago, with a medicinal retreat, a bunch of people of God of various types there. Just it was a wonderful feeling. And I asked a woman who had healing capacity. I asked her why I had to destroy myself, and she looked in my eyes and she just read something. She said, "That's not you. That's your dad. That's how your dad felt about you." And she explained to me, it's like that those thoughts aren't you. You don't have to identify them. You can let them go. And it's like in my mind's eye, I saw that that these murderous thoughts towards me was a bag that I was carrying, right? And I was carrying it for my father because I ruined my father's life by existing. I had a lot of anger towards him. Now I feel a lot of pity. It destroyed me that weekend, but I came out of the weekend healed from my suicidal and depressive tendencies, like not suicidal tendencies. I haven't wanted to kill myself since I found God when I was 21. But I mean, like in the past 10 years, I've literally been hurting myself, beating myself. And I struggled with those feelings every day and struggled with not doing that. But literally it was like, poof, gone, because I realized that those weren't me. Right. But in the past 6 months, especially, and now I'm just going to briefly talk about love. I'm madly in love with a woman. And I don't really know what love is on an unconscious level. Like I understand love to be how my parents hated me, right? And so I kind of reenacted that by being weird beta, being a beta male, you know. And it's interesting just seeing how my own thought forms can kind of limit my route through causality and like how I'm traveling through life. But anyway, what I really want to say is. Your words about, because like I struggle a lot with hate and anger and resentment. It's literally the foundation of my existence from my father's side. But I think that you would agree more than most people. You would understand that rationality and intelligence can be a real disservice to someone. A strong intelligence can cut down the truth just as easily as it can cut down lies, which is why intuition and listening to your heart and listening to God is so important. But just what you said, the stupidly black and white perspective of if it's not good, it's bad. If you're listening to hate, if you're listening to anger, then that is then Satan is your Lord, you know, in a sense. Like that has a really, really profound because it literally what it does is it gives you it puts complete and total accountability on you, because the fact is you are playing this instrument that is your body and it is your mind and it is your spirit, right? And you're in charge of the tune that it's making. I don't know if that makes sense.
And one thing I do want to tell you, that there's no such thing as a woman of healing. Whoever that woman was, she's right in that you got to overcome anger and thought, but she has no healing power at all. She's lying to you about that.
I don't know about that. Well, it's not so much that she healed. She offered me a route to heal myself. She offered me a reflection by using a gift that truly God gave her.
She has no gift from God.
And it's a blessing that those people exist.
No, she has no gift from God. But let me tell you, that's a whole new story, another story. But let me ask, have you gone and forgiven your mother?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, especially in the past several months, like, I can understand that my mom is just, and it's your words that have really helped. Like, my mom is just as locked up, like, as we are. Like, I literally, your words, when I look at her, like, repeat in my head, which is, like, she can't help herself in the same way you couldn't help yourself.
So have you gone and forgiven? Have you gone and forgiven your mother?
Yeah.
You told her?
My mom is, she's done so much. Yeah. I haven't. I should.
So, Dasha, have you gone and apologized to your mother for resenting her for what she's done to you?
Oh, wait. No, I was talking about my father. Sorry if you misheard me.
Dasha, have you gone and forgiven your mother?
My father passed away.
Have you gone and forgiven your mother? Dasha.
I have not forgiven my mother.
And why not?
Well, I've talked to her about it, and I've talked to her about how my dad feels.
Why have you gone, and why have you forgiven your mother for screwing you up?
Well, how did my mom screw me up?
By turning you away from your father. Because you see your father the way your mother see him. It's not you seeing him that way. Your mother played victim. She pretend your father was the bully, and she was the victim. And you believed her, and now you see your father the way she sees him. Have you forgiven her?
Oh, no. I have to say that's actually completely and totally not the case.
Have you forgiven your mother?
She's gone out of the... Yeah, but I will say that's not an accurate representation.
Have you forgiven your mother for turning you away from your father, Dustin?
She's tried to turn me towards my dad.
No, she didn't.
And then my dad cheated on her.
He cheated on her because he didn't know how to deal with the hell in her. Have you forgiven your mother for what she done to you?
May I ask where this is coming from with my mother? What you heard about?
Hold on, Dustin. I got to take a break. Hold on, Dustin. I got to take a quick break. 2 more hours to go. Hate news, not the fake news. Bye. Back in a moment. Bye.
You absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening. I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God love us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
Your mortgage is going to be due even in the event of a disaster. Even if your home is destroyed and you're not allowed back on your property because of mama, whatever. Anyway, and an earthquake in Maine. Wow. It was like a 3-something, I think. And Trump on trans troops, quote unquote. I think he banned them. And he's reinstating the vax refrainers. Those of you powerful soldiers who refrained from taking the schmaxine from the schmina virus. You're going to be reinstated with back pay, I heard. And based Pete Hegseth is going to see to it that he obeys our greatest president, Trump, the commander in chief, the one true. And immigration raids, 2,000 arrests in 2 days, I heard, according to Comedy Nonsense Network. It's a busy time. RFK confirmation hearings this week. That should be fun. Public health. Give me a break. This is the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday. It is January 28th, A.D., 2025. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls. Hang tight, callers. And if you are trying to get on hold to get on air, if you're trying to get through, call in periodically or as you hear JLP wrapping up with another caller so that a line may open up that you may get in to get on hold to get on air with JLP. It is Hake News, not fake news. Comedy Nonsense Network, CNN reports that natural disasters like wildfires, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes can have devastating financial consequences for homeowners. Yet many are still expected to pay their mortgages. That's the home loan thing, I guess. I don't know why it's called mortgage. I'll have to look that up someday, maybe. Even if their homes are uninhabitable, there are tips and resources that may help if you find yourself in such a daunting situation. And so-called transgender troops, you know that's fake news. Comedy Nonsense Network reports our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, on Monday signed 4 EOs, executive orders, that will reshape the military into a powerful, ready-to-fight force, including banning so-called transgender troops. Shout out to them. From serving in the United States Armed Forces, so-called serving, really serving themselves, really, and not really their true selves. Anyway, gutting the military's DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion programs, and reinstating service members who were discharged for refusing to get schmaxinated from the Schmovid 19, vaccinated from the China virus. Which was a ridiculous thing to make athletic young people take, you know. That's what military people are supposed to be, especially men. Anyway, the order outlines new military standards regarding so-called gender pronouns and states that mental and physical readiness requires transgender service members, so-called, to be excluded from the U.S. Armed Forces. On his first day as Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, who has long been in favor of these changes, told reporters he would ensure these, quote, orders are complied with rapidly and quickly, which might be redundant, but I'm for it, unquote. Immigration raids, a wave of planned immigration raids across the United States has resulted in more than 2,000 arrests in 2 days. That will continue across the southeast United States about 2 or 3 times a week, so said a source to Comedy Nonsense. Various U.S. agencies have been given permission to apprehend so-called immigrants under Customs and Border Protection's Immigration Authority. At least 2 agencies assisting the U.S. immigration officials with raids have told personnel to ensure their clothing clearly depicts their respective agency in case they are filmed by members of the media. It's common safety practice for agents conducting arrests to wear insignias identifying themselves as law enforcement. Even agents on the perimeter of operations conducted across the nation have been specifically instructed by their leadership to wear raid jackets and be camera ready, so said sources. It's going to be a big propaganda war on many sides. They're going to be like, oh, Nazis. And then we're going to be like, oh, base, we're getting rid of the worst. Sending them where they belong. It's for their own good. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Hour 2. ¶¶
have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show already. That's amazing. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, it's a doozy. Are you a memory worshiper? Worshiper. Are you a memory worshiper? Is you? Are you? Is you? You can listen to the show live no matter what you're doing, working out, whatever you may be doing, laying up at a beach. Getting beat by your wife right now this morning. If your wife was beating you. You told Harpo to beat me. All my life, I've been beat by men. If you're getting beat by your wife right now.
Just shut up and step up.
You still can be listening while you're shutting up and stepping up. On the listen line. On your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line. You can podcast, and then when the beating is done and you're sitting around crying, you can watch it on podcast. But you can be listening as you're getting beat by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. 3-1. And to donate, have your comments read out loud. We're going to get to your super chats. Go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. It's the second hour on Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What the? Who let the dogs out?
Amazing. Amazing. I'm going to get to the phone. Dustin hung up, I guess, or his phone dropped. Dustin, call back. I don't know what happened, but call me back. I want to quickly show you how things were, for the most part, in 1968. When boys were boys and men were men, and it had nothing to do with color. It was the way it was. It's just the way it is. This is, I played this in the first hour, and I want you to know that when the so-called experts and the so-called leaders, whether liberal, black and white, they are lying to you about the way things were. And they love to cry racism. They love to use that so that you will feel like a victim. And then they make money from your victimhood. from you feeling like a victim and not being responsible for your own life. They're just playing you. That's all. They don't believe anything that they tell you. Zero. This DEI thing is a way of making, it's because they can make you feel like a victim, and they made buku money off DEI. They can make white people afraid, and then they can bring in these no good people to your company and tell you how to run a company, and they never ran a company. And then you end up hiring no good people. Don't know what the world they're doing. So let me quickly show you a discussion with a husband and a wife and the outlook on the family. This is from Instagram. This excerpt is from 1968 documentary, a 1968 documentary, where a wife and a husband share their perspective on family, relationship, and marriage. Watch this.
If the white man would stop and realize and think that the black man feel the same about his wife as he feel about his, I think it would be a better understanding too. The black man don't want his wife to get up and go to work every morning and punch a time card right along with him. He wants his wife home just like the white man want his wife at home.
Because a father represents the law in the home, and a mother represents love in the home. You take when a child come in and he's hurt or bruised or something, he goes to mama. But when he come in and he has a problem, he goes to daddy, you know, because he figured daddy is the symbol of law. Daddy is a symbol. He comes to daddy because daddy can help him.
And I don't think it's good that a mother have to get out and work and leave her children at home. It makes bad children. It causes some children to go astray. It's too much freedom, whereas there's a girl in the home. It causes illegitimate pregnancy in the home from the girl on the girl. And just any number of things that it costs when a parent have to go out and leave her children at home by themselves.
Black women don't even think that way anymore. They're so screwed up in the head. They think they're queens. It's hard on the black woman in America today. The black woman has to work hard. The black woman used to stay home. My mother and my stepfather, they had eight other children other than me, but eight others. My mother never worked until all the kids were grown. That her husband had expired. And she finally said, I'm going to get me a little job. And they used to go to the grocery store every other week and buy baskets of food. And she never had to work. That was the good old days when black people didn't follow stupid, weak, pathetic people like Al Sharpton and the other, Louis Farrakhan and all those people. Blacks were independent. And I want to give you a quick example of what or how men ran the country in those days. Because women went all into politics and all that mess. Men were running things, and things were amazing. Here's an example of how to run a country. This is from Fox News. Colombian president swiftly backtracked on his refusal to accept deportation flights from the United States after President Donald Trump threatened tariff and other measures. Remember, this guy was, Trump had his ICE agents to load up a plane, and they were shipping these people back to Colombia. And the president was like, no, I'm not going to take them in. Don't come this way. And Donald Trump heard about that. He like, oh, okay, don't worry. I'll take care of it. Here are the details.
The president of Colombia quickly caving to Trump's demands to accept deportation flights of illegal Colombian nationals after refusing two flights on Sunday. First, the president of Colombia refuses the flight. Then Trump announces that if Colombia does not accept the flights, a 25% tariff on all goods is coming into the United States will be placed on Colombia. And that tariff will increase to 50% after 1 week's time. Trump also proposed a travel ban and an immediate visa revocation on Colombian government officials, allies, and all supporters. Colombia now has agreed to all of Trump's terms, including taking back all illegal migrants deported out of the United States.
The president of Colombia, like, I was just playing. I was just playing, Trump. I just wanted to see if you wanted to play. I didn't mean it. That's how it used to be when I was growing up. All this mess about, a word about what people say about me, a word about what people think about me, a word about not having any friends. That didn't happen then. That's all new over the last 70 years of mess as mama take over. Grandpa tell me about the good old days. This man changed his mind so fast, it makes your head swim. I was just playing, Trump. What the? Can't you play? Not only am I going to accept my people back, I'm going to send airplanes over to get them. Black people had a different mindset than they do today. They were not victims. They did not blame white people for their problems. They didn't think the white man was superior. Black people today, the blacks think that white people are superior to them. That's why they're angry. Jealousy. It wasn't like that before. When that woman was talking about just now, if white people just understand, black people, these men don't want their wives working and stuff like that. It reminded me of the Christian, Lord have mercy, as Joel Friday would say, Lord have mercy. The Christians are messed up too. The Christians go to foreign countries and they spread the word. They spread the word. And then they're giving out free food and free everything. And so the workers, the farmers in those countries, they have to shut down their own marketplace because now that the Christians are bringing free food and free this and free that and spreading the word, the businesses in those countries go out of business. And they be wishing that the Christians would stay away. But no, the Christians are spreading the word while destroying people's lives. That's what the liberal whites are doing to the blacks. They're destroying lives. They don't care about you. And I can't blame them because you're responsible for you. But human nature is evil. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I also saw a report where Trump is getting rid of all the drag queens out of the military. Transgenders and all. You got to go. You ain't going to wear no dress up in here. And then I ain't paying for no surgery. What's up? Over $100,000 for a surgeon to cut off your body part. You want to cut off your body part? Go ahead. Nobody care, but I ain't paying for it. Trump said, you're out of this military. How you going to lift a gun and you saw from a body part remover? Oh, I can't move. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. The great white hope is back. Daddy is home. Like that black guy was saying, when daddy get home, the kids are going to have to straighten up. I know a lot of you don't know about the good old days, but you missed it. You don't know about the good old music and everything. What a life, huh? 888-775-3773. And I showed you the Great White Hope. I showed you what it was like in 1968. Then the Great White Hope is back. After a while, I'm going to show you what. Lord, these people following Al Sharpton. And they out marching, calling it boycott. They out there following Al Sharpton, looking like victims, because they want Costco and others, they thanking them for being DEI. What a sad way to live. Let me go to Israel. And talk to Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How are you, man?
All is well. Shout out to Israel.
Yeah. Love it here, man. I moved here in 2009. I'm American. But, you know, Obama and Big Mama won. And I said, oh, I'm out.
Are you Jewish?
I am, sir.
I love the Jews.
Me too. I love you. And I love you, Jesse. I love you, man.
Thank you, man.
Spreading the truth, man.
Amazing. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I voted for the Great Orange Hope 3 times. I know you call him the White Hope. I call him the Orange Hope because they like making fun of him for being Orange Man. So I just push it in their faces.
Right on.
But I voted for 3 times, that man. And I'm so glad he's back and what everything he's doing for the world, America, Israel, and the world is amazing. Amazing!
Amazing. I want to ask. I see the dream team as Trump, Netanyahu,
yep.
and Putin, the dream team.
Yep.
How do you see Netanyahu?
Listen, my deal with Netanyahu, I don't love him. I don't hate him. He's a politician. He's doing what I think right now he's doing what needs to be done. I don't like the fact that he's been in office for so long. But he's doing the right thing, and I don't see anybody here that's any better. So I can tell you can find a decent replacement. Don't tell me to get rid of him.
Right on.
That's what I feel.
I was talking to someone I know that moved from L.A. back to Israel as well, and then they came here to visit recently, just the other day, and I was asking him about Netanyahu, and he said that Netanyahu is like Donald Trump in America, and that a lot of the liberals, whatever you call the liberal Jews over there, they don't like Netanyahu because he is like a Trump over there. They don't know how to deal with him, and that's why they want to lock him up. They're trying to do all they can to destroy him because he's so strong.
Well, that's almost true. I'll tell you what the only problem with that is that he's not as good as Trump. No one is as good as Trump, but he's pretty damn good. And I remember this happening for a long time and watching these super leftists. And by the way, it's a minority. The super leftists are protesting against Trump for years.
Right.
And they continue to do it. And usually they don't even know what the hell they're protesting against. Because I asked them, I'm like, what are you protesting against? Oh, he's friends with Trump. Oh, he hates the gays. They're like, Trump don't hate the gays. Netanyahu doesn't hate the gays.
Right.
He may not agree with everything they do, but he ain't gonna. He doesn't hate them.
Right.
So I don't know. How are you saying that he hates? What does he do that hates that shows you that he hates them? Oh, we don't know. We saw it on the news.
Well, that's just a word that people use when they want to control conservative men who are strong. They call you hate. Yeah. They call you racist. They call you. What do they call you when you stand up? You're the president for the women, even if they don't like it. They call you, what do they call men who tell the truth?
Misogynist.
They put names on you, and the reason they call you names because they want to control you. But if you don't care what people call you, you don't even think about it, you cannot be controlled. And I think Netanyahu appeared to be that type of a man.
I think something you've said is that, like, there isn't really hate, there's evil,
yeah.
good and evil.
Yeah.
And I totally see that, man. And especially now, you know, being Jewish in this world, there's so much evil that's trying to come and get us.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that Trump is president and he's going to keep people out of the country that have those visas and they go to the colleges and they push evil, evil hatred. For no reason.
Right.
And, you know, that's the only thing.
Well, they're doing it because they represent evil. They are children of the lie. They are children of evil. So that's why they're doing it.
Right. Right. And that's the main thing that really scares me about the world, is that evil is taking over. And people are too stupid to realize that they're being poisoned by evil.
Yes, absolutely. One last question.
What do we do about that?
Let them suffer. Leave them in hell and let them suffer. Really, that's all you can and should do. You can't do anything about anyone, including your own children, when they become adult, if they don't want to come out of hell. You have to leave them in hell. Everybody that want to stay in hell, they have a right to stay in hell, meaning they have a right to be lonely. They have a right to be miserable. They have a right to be jealous and strife and envy and just evil. And God will leave them in their hell until they invite the truth in, and unless they invite it in. So we have to do the same thing. Leave them. Even your old mama, leave mama and your dad in hell if they don't want out.
But God's going to protect us. At the end of the day, God will protect the righteous.
Absolutely, 100%. So I got to ask one other quick question. They made a deal over in Israel, according to all the reports. They made a deal with Hamas to give up some of their people, the Allahu Abba people. And Hamas apparently made a deal to give up some of Israel people. But all they're giving Israel are one or two women, females, and Israel is giving up men to go back over there and go right back into a battle against them. How come Israel think that's a deal?
Well, if you ask me, it ain't much of a deal. I think we're sending women too, at least in the beginning, the first round we did. But I think it's right now. It's one innocent Israeli hostage who is held in despicable conditions without the Red Cross visiting, against the laws, you know, the laws of war, and we're trading one innocent person for 30 convicted terrorists, murderers. Evil people, and we shouldn't be putting a price on people like this, because now they realize, oh, we want to get 1,000 people. It's so simple. We do the math. It's one person for 30, and we're causing a problem.
But Israel only getting females. And they're not even giving Israel males back. They're giving them female who has no authority, no nothing going on.
At least they can give birth to males.
What?
But I said at least the females can give birth to males.
Right, but what good is that if you let Hamas keep the males?
Well, the problem is, man, the problem is that we're setting a bad precedent. And the people we're getting back are going to be, destroyed for the rest of their lives. I'm really happy they're coming back, and I think and it's great that we're rescuing people. But
they're not rescuing
people.
They're getting one or two female for 100-something men.
You're right. It's good. It's I feel good for the families that are getting these people back. But the problem is you're signing death warrants for people in the future. Because Sinwar, he was released in a hostage deal, and he planned October 7th, and so you can't be giving back terrorists in exchange for innocent people.
Well, female,
just get more innocent people for female innocent people. You're right. If you were female innocent people, beta.
What a beta, Jeremy. Thank you for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Jesse, I love to speak to you in the future again, because I have some crazy stories to share with you.
Right,
you know, your producers or something.
Call me
all
again.
Right. Have a good one, man.
All right, buddy.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Be good. God bless.
You too, buddy. Amazing. That ain't no deal. Where is Netanyahu when you need him? What are you doing over there when we need him over here? That ain't no deal. You giving Allahu Abba back men, and you taking some females. And how is that a deal? At least, let's say that, okay, we make some kind of sorry deal, but we're going to take mails back if you want mails from us. How do you agree? Okay, we'll take some females. What the? Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chats.
Bill West commenting on Punchy, the Punchy TV premiere yesterday.
Punchy TV, amazing. Check it out.
There was an incident with this rapper who had his home raided, allegedly, according to him. Instead of baking the new neighbor a pie, they sent a SWAT pie. Nice. And he says blacks are the first to call police.
Mm.
You didn't catch Punchy TV, did you?
I did not. I was busy.
You have that lost look in your face.
I had wanted to see it, but I was totally busy. I could not get it. I was counseling or something. Amazing.
LeBron.
Thank you.
LeBron Boulevard says, may God bless the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson with many years of good health and continued success in spreading his message.
All in the name. I accept that in Jesus' name. Thank you.
LeBron Boulevard on the X Punchy live stream says, I'm sure these are nice guys, but I'm not learning anything. It's not even entertaining. Well, thanks for the feedback, LeBron Boulevard.
Who are they responding to?
Punchy TV guys.
Oh, the guys yesterday?
Whatever, man.
Thank you. Amazing.
Dion says, Jesse, are you planning to make punchy biscuits to go with our coffee?
A good, don't put any ideas in my mind. Punchy coffee.
Punchy butter biscuits.
It's amazing. We should make some good old homemade biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
And we're about to put a picture up on of the punchy coffee in a minute here. Punchy coffee. Good. It would go even better with some homemade biscuit with honey on it, a syrup. And then over easy eggs. Oh, God. But check out Punchy Coffee, all right? Every dime goes back to the organization to make it happen. Amazing. I think he means cookies like his British. You know what I mean? Like he's British.
Oh. Oh, by biscuits, he means the cookies.
What? So by biscuits, he might mean cookies.
Could be.
Like they do in Britain.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
He put a picture of a croissant emoji in the chat.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone bought five coffees. Jesse, you're my best friend. We're very similar in personality and age. I'm a beta female, widowed and single, 12 years, work full-time from home. Heard you call tell a call you used to watch Popeye the Sailor Man. Oh, my gosh, my favorite cartoon character.
You remember Popeye the Sailor Man?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. I used to love watching that.
I prefer fresh spinach, triple washed, that you can just eat the leaves, to the canned spinach. Ugh.
That's why you're not Popeye the Sailor Man.
Whatever. I'm still sort of strong. It's just deceiving. It just doesn't look like it. I'm strong in the inside, in my heart.
Yeah, right.
After one of your shows, they played a song my favorite old bluegrass group, the Louvin Brothers. Pleasantly surprised. I live in my home state of West Virginia after living all over the country and traveling abroad. Life is full and peaceful. Love you, Jesse. Smiley.
Thank you. I love you as well. Thank you. I wish you would stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
Soterios, hey, Jesse, I have a question. I can see I have no love, but now I ask myself,
ask!
How can I love God with all my heart and might then? And doesn't loving with might mean put effort into it? Which I know is wrong because it's real love. It's no real love, but a fantasy. Thanks for all you do. Or because you're black, thanks for all you is doing.
That's right. Do the silent prayer, stay with it, and do nothing. But watch the thoughts and emotion. You'll be fine. It'll work itself out. Thank you. Let me take a quick break. Thank you all. I got to take a quick break. Back in a moment. Amazing.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like a thousand. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man. And Western Tuesday. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, comment, and all of those things, all right? We're on Rumble. Rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Cozy, where Christ is King. On Cozy.tv /JLP Talk. JLP Talk on X. And Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram, all over the place. So make sure you like, comment, and subscribe and all that. Thank you in advance. And I want you to check out, someone mentioned Punchy TV. We played a brand new episode of Punchy on yesterday. Check this out.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with J. Cole.
I've heard of him.
The rapper.
He's a rapper, right?
He moved back to this white neighborhood, this beautiful area. He said he had big speakers. He got this crazy looking hair, smoked cigars, filled with weed, laughing hard.
There's something that does not make sense about this story.
With a lot of money, loved by the country, had a lot of fans. But a lot of black people have this chip on their shoulder. Yeah.
Why don't black people look in the mirror and be honest about what they see?
Destructive anger and hate.
Punching TV. Isn't that amazing? Punching TV. Punching.tv. Check it out. And also for personal shout outs, go to Cameo. I'll do them myself for you. Birthday shout outs. Weddings, anniversaries, divorces, whatever. Congratulations, encouragement. Whatever the shout-out is, go to Cameo, Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Let me go to Chris, a first-time caller out of Las Vegas. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hey, Chris.
All right, so I just had a quick question to ask you. So my wife's family, they're lost in their thoughts, right? They're black and Hispanic, and they're living this life like blacks and Hispanics are constantly deprived and have nothing to gain, everything to lose. But it's funny because both in-laws make real good money. My father-in-law made millions playing professional sports, went to college, all this stuff, owned their home and stuff like that. But they still push this narrative, and I don't want it to leak into my children's lives, where they push this narrative of you'll only amount to this much. Other people around you, especially if you live in a suburban area, will strive better than you just because they're skin color. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I want to almost consider limiting my children's encounter with their grandparents and that side of the family. Oh, by the way, my mother-in-law is also in the education system. She's high up there. And so it all kind of makes sense why, you know, there's that thought process. But would you have any kind of recommendations, or would you, if you're in my shoes, would you consider limiting my children's encounter with that side of the family?
I would highly, 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 highly recommend you keep your wife and your children away from them, period. Don't let them come over. Don't let your children and your wife visit them. You take your wife and your children far away from your family and their family so that you can protect them from evil.
Yeah.
You have no obligation. Even God said, when you get married, take your wife far away from her family and your family. If you want, otherwise, they will screw them up.
Yeah, I hear you on that because, and you know, I'm black and white. My wife is a he black. My wife is Hispanic and black.
Your wife is what?
And my wife is Hispanic and black. But we are very free thinkers. We follow the ways of the Lord. My wife submits to me. I do my best to be a great father, a great husband, a great leader. So I take these extra steps in taking care of my mind, soul, and body.
Right on.
And it seems like every time there's a family function or something like that, I want to participate because it's good to see people and
all that stuff. It's not good to see them at all. That's just a thrill you have. It's not good. I would highly recommend, man, that you keep them away from the grandparents, from everybody. Otherwise, you will regret it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I noticed my father-in-law, he is very submissive to his wife. And I call it out to my wife all the time. I'm like, I can't raise my sons around this.
Yes.
You know, I love them, but this is not good. And if we continue to surround them, kids are like sponges. So eventually over time, they're going to absorb that and whatever's in their environment.
100%.
And we can't have that.
Well, keep them away. Keep your wife away from them. Don't let her go around them either. And your family is your wife and your children now. Forget about the others.
Yes, sir.
And you work on your family, man. Keep them away from her parents and yours.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate it.
I wish you well.
Thank you, too.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go. First-time caller out of Virginia. Robin. Robin, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jesse. I found you about a month ago, and your all thoughts are all lies all the time stopped the jungle in my head. I want to thank you so much for that.
Right on.
My question is, I'm really confused about this emotionless life. You know, I heard the other caller from Virginia earlier that called about her father had just died 2 hours ago.
Right.
And she said her mom was crying and she was showboating because she was crying.
Yes.
I'm very emotional and I cry, but I don't do it to manipulate. I will run away from people because I don't want them to see me crying. So I don't understand. If I'm crying, I'm lying. I don't get that. I'm really having trouble with that one.
And your question is what?
I mean, I don't understand it. Like, the other day I saw a YouTube short of yours, and right after it was Jordan Peterson, and he was coming out of his seat yelling at the guy, and he's crying on half of his YouTube shorts, you know, or anytime you listen to him. So I'm just curious, how do you, you know, reconcile? I mean, what's the difference? Is it okay for him to be emotional, but not me as a woman?
Anytime he's crying, he's lying. And when women are crying, they're lying.
Why do you say that?
And what are you crying for? Why are you crying?
I don't know. I just, because I don't want to get angry.
But you are crying.
Angry
people do cry.
Right.
That's who cry. Angry people.
Right.
Because they're lying.
No, but I'm not lying. When I'm crying, I just went through a terrible situation with my daughter, and I ended up at the courthouse, and I had to get an emergency protective order for her children because of CPS. And I was bawling, crying, because I'm in the between my daughter and my grandchildren, and they were calling me unstable.
You are unstable. What are you doing?
What?
Why are you involved in it at all?
Because they called me.
Right.
And they said if I didn't come, CPS called me and said if I didn't come, they were going to put the kids in foster care.
And why you didn't say, oh, okay, put them in foster care?
No, man.
Why
didn't
you
do
that? Why didn't you?
Because they're my grandchildren.
What did that mean? You said you wish you could put them in foster care. So that means you know the right thing to do. What does that mean? Oh, because they are my grandchildren. What does that mean?
You know, that's a great question, because I heard your Sunday sermon where you asked a woman, or I think you were counseling her, and you asked her, who was she? And she said, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife. That's exactly what I would have said. And it was so freeing to hear you say, that's just what you do. That's
right.
Not who you are.
Right.
Oh, I wish I'd have found you August of last year before they called me. I certainly do. But I wasn't lying while I was there. So I don't.
Yes, you were. Why were you crying?
Because I was devastated. I didn't want to be in that position.
Why were you devastated?
Well, I felt like I was taking my daughter's children. And I agree with you. I don't think it was the right thing to do.
So then why were you crying knowing you were doing wrong?
No, I guess that's why I was crying.
And who was crying?
I mean, I want to say me, but was it my thoughts?
Who was crying?
Me.
And who are you?
Well, at that moment, I was a grandmother and a mother. That's all I could think of.
That's who you are?
Well, that's what I thought.
And all thoughts are all lies all the time. Why would you believe that thought about that?
Exactly.
No, that was a question. That was a question.
Yeah, and well, now I know. Now I get it. I mean, my head was a jungle when I found you. And now when I think thoughts, I immediately go, all thoughts, all lies, all the time. And I capture those thoughts. Just like you say to do. And now I got it.
And those thoughts are making you cry, too, because they made you feel sorry, or they made you feel like a grandmother, or they made you feel responsible or not responsible. You still listen to thought, which are lies, which means your crying is lying, because you listen to lies.
So how would I have lived with myself if I would have just said, okay, well, they have to go to foster care then, and something would have happened to them.
What's self?
Right.
No, that was a question.
I know. I know.
What
I
self are you talking about?
I guess I'm talking about my grandmother self.
What self? That's just a title. That's not a self.
Right. I don't know. I'm going to have to keep working on that.
And why don't you get out of your daughter's life, be done with her, and let her work out her own problem? You can't save your daughter. And all you're doing is making things worse by going there and trying to take care of her kids and all that kind of stuff. You're going to screw them up in the same way you screwed up your daughter.
Oh, geez. I know. I agree. And I'm trying to do just that.
Try to do what?
Tell her to stay out of her life.
What all you gotta do is stay away.
Well, she's in Mississippi and I'm in Virginia, so that's easy to do.
Well, you stay in Mississippi, let her stay in Virginia, and you stay away from her and let her work out her own hell, either to live in it or to overcome it. But you're in the way. You're in hell trying to save somebody else from hell. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense that you're in hell trying to save someone else in hell?
Yes. So, yes, that makes complete sense.
So why don't you stay out, leave alone?
What if they need a place to stay again?
That's not your issue, not your problem.
And she has 4 children, and I just say no?
I don't care if she has 104.
Be easier to say no if she had 104. I wouldn't be as connected to 104 of them. That'd be much easier. But she's been with us from day one.
Who?
With my daughter.
And?
They have just moved away.
Thank God. Have you apologized to her for screwing up her life?
Yes.
Are you told her you were wrong?
Yes.
And what did she say when you said, hey, daughter, I'm wrong. I screwed up your life. I turned you away from your father. I imposed my will. And that's why you're screwed up. You got to forgive me if you want to be free.
Yeah.
You told her that?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Well, then stay away now. Leave her alone. Let her work out her own hell. If they have to put the kids in the foster home, let them put the kids in there. They're going to suffer anyway with you.
No. I guess so.
Are you married?
Yes. To her father.
And do you obey your husband?
Yes. And I try.
And so do you obey him?
Sometimes.
Do you obey your husband?
Yes, I try.
Do you obey your husband?
I guess no. I should start.
If you obey your husband, you will have a perfect life.
Right.
Women who obey their husband, they have a perfect life. But you're not obeying your husband.
Why do you say that?
Because you're running crazy all in your daughter's life.
Well, I mean, it was by necessity.
No, it wasn't.
She had to.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
That's your necessity. You needed more life to destroy. And you needed to feel good. You need to feel like a grandma. You need to put out a fake thing, idea that you're of love and you're not. You're all doing it for your own ego. You're keeping it alive. Because if you had love, real love, you would leave your daughter alone. You would let her suffer.
Wow.
You don't love your daughter. You don't love yourself. You love nobody, not even your husband.
What?
Yeah. Yes.
Why do you say that?
You don't obey him. You're involved in your daughter's life. You won't even let your daughter suffer through her hell. How will she find heaven as long as you're in the way?
Right.
You don't love her. You love nobody. You have no love.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, but it's true.
My gosh.
You need him.
So, what?
You need him. My God. You need to pull away and work on you. Have you forgiven your mother?
Oh, yes.
You told her?
Yes. She's dead now. But yes, I actually put it in a letter.
You forgave her for what?
For anything and everything.
Did you forgive her for recreating you or her image?
Well, I guess I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
I didn't know, but I knew that. They did the best that they could, and I had to let it go, you know, whatever.
Right. But she recreated her image, and you just like your mama. That's why your husband can't stand you, your daughter can't stand you, and your mate.
Jesse!
The people in church don't like you.
Oh, my gosh. So that's it, then. I'm just going to stay home, work on myself.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You're something. I'm so grateful I found you.
Are you doing the silent prayer yet?
Yes, but, you know, I don't totally understand that.
You don't need to understand it. Just do it, and then understanding will come. You just be quiet and watch those thoughts. And they're going to overwhelm you because you've been living in them forever and not seeing that. Now you sit still, and then God will allow you to see that so he can draw you out of them and make you free. He will take all those evil spirits away from your imagination and give you a clear mind.
Right. Okay. It's helping.
And so you do the silent prayer. And then once the thoughts disappear, the emotion will too.
Right.
Emotions are not necessary, and they are not from God. And when she's crying, she's lying.
But, you know, the woman's husband just died 2 hours ago.
And so why does she need to cry about that? Let the dead bury the dead.
You know, I gave my whole mother's eulogy at her funeral. I didn't cry one time, you know.
I bet you were glad the witch was dead.
No, I was not. I adored my mother.
Yeah, right.
I did.
Yeah, right. That's the problem.
What do you mean?
You're not supposed to adore her. You're supposed to not hate her.
Right. Okay.
So I got to run, but do the silent prayer and watch those thoughts and don't call them you anymore, and God will save you from them, all right?
Okay, Jesse.
And stay out of your daughter's hell. Let her work out her own hell. By you being involved, you'll keep her in hell. You're the one that she hates. So you're not helping her at all.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Let me know how it goes.
All right. I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Canada and talk to a first-time caller. Nush? Nush.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going?
All is well, Nush. Welcome to... And he is Nush, right?
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Okay.
Good to meet you.
You
and,
too.
Yeah, ever since I started listening to you, man, like, it changed my life completely. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not someone who... You know, you just hear there's a lot of people on the internet and around, you know, talking about different ways to live life and how to think. And I'm not someone who easily, you know, buys into stuff. But we had this, you know, I was in this fallen state of being obsessed with my identity. I used to be a really high-performing entrepreneur, and the business was doing really well. And then I made some investments that didn't go too well in a new business. And so my identity of being the entrepreneur was torturing me, and I always had these thoughts and emotions and putting too much pressure on myself and then not even enjoying the work. But yeah, ever since I started listening to you, I actually feel one with the Father, and I forgave my mother and sort of shed that fallen nature. So I have like two questions for you today. I'll make them really quick. The first one is, when you let go of thoughts and identity and emotions and you don't need anything from anyone, you're sort of free and you feel close to Christ. But when you don't need anything from anyone, there's a risk. Like, you have this risk where you might be too passive, right? And then people feel like maybe they could walk all over you. So how do you get what you want out of the people around you so you don't come across as a beta, but at the same time, you don't need anything from them?
And your question about that is what?
Is how do you balance not needing anything from people when you internally don't need anything from anyone?
Right.
There's a risk that maybe you come across as a bit too passive.
Oh, I see. And can you hold for me?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Hold on for me. I got to take a quick break. One more hour to go. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. When I come back, we're going to move calls and your super chat. Hate news is coming now. The hate news, not the fake news, but the hate news. Hate news. I'll be back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy, they're miserable, they have rough lives, they're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand, I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The California wildfires. They're counting 29 dead at this point. What a mess. And DeepSeek, Chinese AI assistant. It is dominant, I hear. Shout out to the Chinese. And a French AI chatbot was taken offline after supposedly wild answers. Interesting. 12,000 North Korean soldiers in Russia helping against Ukraine. We should have peace. Trump will fix it. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday, January 28th, AD 2025. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls. Hang tight, callers. But first, fake news, not fake news. Call me Nonsense Network, CNN reports. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the vaccine skeptic, President Donald J. Trump nominated to serve as Health and Human Services HHS Secretary, will face a couple of them, high-profile confirmation hearings this week. Despite the president's backing, some GOP senators want public commitments from RFK Jr. on abortion and vaccines before deciding whether to support him. A new poll shows that less than half of U.S. adults trust Trump and Kennedy to make the right recommendations on health issues. Sounds like they're suckers. But views are split evenly along partisan lines, particularly regarding attitudes on vaccines. Kennedy's views on vaccines have raised alarm among some so-called public health experts, including his promotion of the supposedly false claim, according to CNN, it's false, that vaccine causes autism in children. And California wildfires, the Los Angeles County medical examiners updated the death toll from this month's destructive Southern California wildfires. Death toll 29 at this point. As of late Monday, there have been 17 deaths related to the Eaton fire and 12 related to the Palisades fire. And there are other fires around. This comes as a new lawsuit alleges that the Eaton fire in Altadena, California, was started by an electrical spark from a utility transmission tower. They're blaming Edison, Southern California Edison. But Edison has said it's not proven at this point. Video obtained by some law firm representing the supposed fire victim shows what they say is the start of the blaze. I don't know. The official cause of both fires in L.A. County remains under investigation. People across China are hailing the success of their homegrown tech startup DeepSeek. I wonder if they copied like they copy everything else, but they copy well. And its founder, after the company unveiled their new AI, artificial intelligence model, sending shockwaves through Silicon Valley and Wall Street. The startup's newest model, DeepSeek, all one word, capital D, capital S. DeepSeek R1 can nearly match the capabilities of its far more famous American rivals, but costs less than $6 million to build, the company claims. A fraction of the investment from other major firms. Meta, last week, said they would spend upward of $65 billion this year on AI development. While OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, said the AI industry would need trillions of dollars in investment to support the development of their high in-demand AI computer chips. President Donald Trump called the breakthrough a wake-up call for America in their rivalry with China. French AI chatbots taken offline after wild answers. CNN says while some AI models are thriving, others having trouble answering simple math equations. A French language AI chatbot named Lucy, L-U-C-I-E, I could be butchering the name, I don't speak French at all, was recently taken offline after sharing erroneous answers. Well, I don't know, ChatGPT's not that great either, right? With their timestamp math. Anyway, 12,000, roughly, North Korean soldiers have been sent to Russia to boost President Vladimir Putin's war effort in the Ukraine. Per Western intelligence reports, they say around 4,000 of those troops been killed or injured. Wow. Whew. I mean, injured is not that bad, depending on the injury. Ukrainian officials expect Pyongyang to send more reinforcements soon as Moscow continues to experience manpower shortages. Wow. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour 3.
¶¶
got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth. Instead of dividing them with lies, we're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. There's one line open at 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question for this week, a doozy. For those who want to overcome their hell, their misery, that want perfect peace, the questions are for you, to encourage you to know thyself. Know thyself. Are you a memory worshiper? Are you a memory worshiper? Is you? Are you a memory worshiper? You can listen to the show anywhere in the world. We are here Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Heard around the world by everybody and they mama, if you're black, or everybody and their mama, if you're white. And for the flat earthers, we are heard up and down the world by everybody and they mama, if you're black. Everybody and their mama, if you're white. And so if you're busy and you just can't sit and watch the show, you can listen on your iPhone or iPad. You can podcast, but you can listen by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate, have your comments read out loud, go buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday. It's Tuesday. What's up? Tuesday. Third hour. And every Tuesday is Bible Thumper Tuesday. No, country. What the? He black. It's country and western Tuesday. All my life.
All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time because the devil's been making homes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe He'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so He could lean on me. Forgive.
Perfect peace. Amazing. Amazing. I want to go back to Canada and speak with Kush. Nush, not Kush, but Nush out of Canada. First time caller. So, Nush, restate your question for me.
Absolutely. So the question was, when you learn to let go of needing things from people, when you're letting go of your identity and your thoughts and your emotions, you end up also not needing things from people. How do you balance that so that you don't come across as passive and you actually get treated well by people and you get what you want out of your relationships, whether it's with your girlfriend or wife, or it's work. How do you balance not needing anything spiritually, internally, with actually not being a beta and not coming across as passive?
And who is coming across as passive?
Well, it's just that if you sort of have perfect peace and you don't need anything, you may not even sort of make any of your needs heard ever. Or you may just see, you may just seem so peaceful that people feel like you come across as passive, or you just don't end up getting treated right, or you don't get what you want out of your relationships or your work.
And how would you know that's what people would be thinking?
If like, let's say your spouse doesn't treat you right at home, you know, she doesn't cook ever, you know, she's sort of like a manly woman. And let's say, as an example, you're trying to make your needs heard, sort of thing.
But why would you have a wife like that? Why won't you get rid of her? What's the purpose to have a wife that won't cook and clean and wash your clothes and iron and sew and all? Why would you be with a person like that?
That's true.
No, that was a question. That wasn't true. That was a question.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get what you're saying. That, yeah, you would, if you're not a beta, you wouldn't even pick like that. You wouldn't pick anyone like that from the get-go. But, you know, people let you down. Sometimes your siblings let you down. People in your life let you down.
Give me an example of how someone can let you down.
Let's say you, like right now, I'm visiting my family in the city that they live in after about 3 years of not seeing them. And my brothers really haven't paid that much attention to me. They haven't reached out. They don't seem to want to do stuff too much. But I'm at perfect peace, so this time I'm, like, laughing about it. Like, it's like it doesn't bother me at all, and I'm just, you know, I'm having a really great time here. And so stuff like that, right? It's like perfect peace is where I'm at right now, and so it's just like I don't even relate to, you know, the past me would have been all up in arms about that and been like, what? Like, how would they, you know, how could they even do that? Like, how could they treat me like that? But now it's just like I'm having a great time, and I'm chilling, and I just feel, like, closer to God than ever. So it's like stuff like that, right? Like,
but if you're having
a point where you're like,
if you have an amazing time and you are close to God, why would you even think about them not showing up? Why would that even be a part of your thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I mean, that was a question.
It wouldn't be right.
But you are thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm aware. It's in my awareness, like, externally, but it's not affecting my internal state, right?
Why is it in your awareness at all?
Because it's happening, right? It's like, it's literally.
Do you
want to
see them?
No. Yeah, to some extent, yeah. I do want to spend more time, like, obviously. I'm just like.
So that's why it's in your awareness, because you want to spend more time with them, right?
Right. So how do you make your
So why
known?
Don't you
like,
go
do you
why don't you that? Just go visit with them?
Yeah, you could, right?
Like, no, that was a question. No, come back. Why don't you just go and visit with them?
Yeah, I will be doing that. Yeah, absolutely.
No, like, why don't you just go and visit with them?
Cuz like I just came a few days ago, like I'm still settling in, so I'm going to be doing that, but I'm also observing how they're reacting, right? But it's just an example, but, like, generally speaking.
But why are you even thinking about how they're reacting at all? If you want to see them, why don't you just go and see them? There's nothing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
No, that was a question.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like,
But you're not answering my question.
Did you restate the question?
Why don't you, instead of thinking, oh, they won't come see me, I want to see them, they're not coming to see me. If you want to see them, why don't you just go see them or invite them to lunch or something?
Yeah, that's probably because of my fallen nature.
Right.
That's a solid point.
And so you don't have perfect peace. Because if you have perfect peace,
right,
you would want for nothing.
Right. Right.
So why do you say you have perfect peace when you don't have it?
That's true. No, there was another question. Accurate, right?
Why do you say you have perfect peace when you don't have it?
Because I'm not speaking as precisely. I was speaking in sound bites, but I'm like, I'm not, I don't believe I'm 100% there. I believe I'm like probably a lot closer than I used to be, probably like 80% there, but I'm always learning, right? And I'm always trying to grow into that. But like compared to where I was, it's like, it feels like a world of difference.
Right.
Which is why
I understand
in comparison to that, it does feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, have you forgiven your mother?
Yes. I actually got really lucky with that because one day she called me and she basically had had a conversation with my sister and she came up to me and said, hey, she made me realize all this stuff and I forgive you. So like she started the conversation, and then I told her that in my head I'd already forgiven you. And then we had a whole conversation where I was like, no, I forgive you. It's all good. So I got really lucky with that one where it was a miracle. And she's not the type of person, there's a lot of hell in her. So that was a miracle. Like she's not the type of person who all my whole life has been that self-aware or forget or like takes responsibility for her actions. Like,
have you told your mother you were sorry for resenting her for what she's done to you?
I told her I forgive her. That's it. And I told her I've already forgiven her. So it's all good. And she was feeling remorseful. And I told her that, you know, my brother is really a beta because he is extremely identified with the mother.
Who?
And my oldest brother. I'm the youngest. So oldest brother, yeah, he's like, and I've tried to help him a billion times get out of his hell, but he's like super identified with my mother. And he's like very, like, I can just see from the outside, I have empathy for him because he's my brother. And I told her that you have made him that way. Like, you made him in your image, and you need to have this talk with him. And you need to tell him that, like, he's 37 now, and, you know, he's getting old. And so, I made her realize that as well. And so it was a beautiful thing, man. And, you know, it was crazy.
Nush, have you forgiven your mother for what she's done to you?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
And did you tell her?
Yes, yes. So this was the conversation that we had.
Didn't you say your mother told you she forgave you?
No. She reached out to me and she said she was basically remorseful, right? And she was saying that she was sorry. And so it made it super easy for me to acknowledge that, yeah, I've, in my heart, in my head, I've already forgiven you. And I'm glad that you're realizing all this stuff.
So you told her that?
The conversation.
Did you tell her that?
I did.
In your heart, you had already forgiven her?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. And what did your father say when you forgave him for not protecting you from her?
Yeah, I haven't done that half yet, which is...
why not?
My father was a little bit, like, emotionally detached. Like, he's always been very... He just went to work, and then after work, he didn't really talk much. He didn't want to give us his troubles, and he didn't ever share his stories and his emotions with us. And so it's sort of like somewhat of a, like a awkward relation. Like we care for each other a lot. There's nothing negative, but it's like a bit of an awkward relationship. And so we don't really talk about feelings and that sort of thing. Why haven't you gone to your father and said to him,
I'm sorry for resenting you for not protecting me from my mother. Why haven't you done that?
Yeah, that one I have to do. You're right. I need.
That was a question. Why haven't you done that?
I just, you know, I the mother thing really changed so much for me that I hadn't gotten to that yet. But I'm going to do that, Jesse.
Why have you done it already?
Because this, like, the mother thing just happened like a month ago, so. You know, got some breathing room, and now I think I'm ready to do the other half. But yeah,
Why haven't you gone to your father and forgiven him for not protecting you from her?
I'm going to do it. I have no good reason to tell you. Like, I'm going to do it.
And what gives you the right to feel anything for your brother at all?
What gives me the right to feel any type of way to my brother?
Yeah, you said you tried to save him from his hell. How can you save your brother from your hell when you can't, his hell, when you can't even save you from your hell?
Yep, that's absolutely true. Yep.
No, that was a question.
I don't think I can. I observe that he is in that fallen state from a distance. I'm not actively trying to say I invite him to, you know, go to the gym, work out, you know, be less like not be in that fallen state as much. And he's just not in a place where he wants to be taken out of his hell right now. So I don't push, but I'm aware, but I don't actively try to, like, I don't go out of my way actively because I know I've been trying with him for years and I've given up. Like, I've let that all that go because of your teachings, right? Of,
but you have no right. You have no right to feel sorry for people. You have no right to try to save people. You have no right to feel anything about anyone, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your wife, your kids. You have no right to feel anything about anyone that's in their hell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So
yeah,
why don't you stop playing God?
Yeah, that's true.
No, that was a question.
Why don't I stop playing God?
Yes.
Because I'm still in a fallen state, right? We don't get this stuff. Like, the stuff that you say is extremely groundbreaking, right? It's not, we don't get taught religion. When we go to church, we don't get taught how to actually know God. We don't get taught any of this stuff, right? So, like, I'm 27, and it took me so long to really understand this message and, like, literally physically in my body know what it's like and in my mind know what it's like to feel God. So I'm just at the beginning, to be honest, but I'm really grateful where I'm at so far. And
I do understand that. Yeah. But let me ask, because of time, let me ask. You asked me, what do you do if someone thinks that you are being passive, right?
Right.
Okay. So in this world, we have to do business with one another. We have to go to the market. We have to buy a car. We have to buy a house. And so we got to do business with one another. But other than that, there's nothing else that you need from anyone. And when you truly realize that, and you will if you stay with it, you're going to realize there is no you. And if there is no you, there's only this illusion of you that you have. And if there's no you, how can anyone make you feel passive at all?
Right.
That's another question.
I don't think they can, yeah.
So why would you think about that? Oh, because I'm not needing anyone for psychological support, they're going to think I'm passive. Why are you thinking that at all?
Because there's a fear that you're sort of perceived as someone that people could just walk all over, right? And then that could lead to real world outcomes, like in business, right?
If not at all. If you know that there's no you, there's no one there to feel passive, no matter what someone else thinking, you would never think about that. You would still do business straight up. And whatever somebody else is thinking, you wouldn't even think about what someone else is thinking because you would not be into thinking. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. And you would know that there is no one there to be passive. So that wouldn't even be on your mind.
Right. So I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you're saying is that you don't have spiritually, internally, a need for anything. But when you're doing business, for example, you let what you want go through, you express that, and then you take it as it comes, right? And you're a good businessman, you're a tough negotiator, but you don't need anything at the end of the day, right? You're not a beta either.
You don't need any psychological support from anyone, meaning they don't need to love you. You don't care. You're not concerned about what they think about you. You're not even thinking about that. You're not concerned about how they see you because you know there's no one there to be concerned about that. You're not thinking about, oh, I'm dealing with this deal in the wrong way. They're going to think I'm passive. You're not, those thoughts are not yours because you know all thoughts are all lies. And so now you live without thinking. The only thing you need to think about sometime is buying food, buying a car, buying a house. But you don't, you live a life without thinking. When you get to a point, and you will if you stay with it, you're going to, and I promise you this, you're going to live a no-thinking life.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate that, sir. Appreciate that very much.
So from now on,
time for another question.
So from now on, when the thought comes, oh, they're going to think of you as being passive or whatever, right? They're going to think of me as being passive. You let that thought pass. Don't call it you. Don't identify with it. Let it pass.
Right.
And then it'll be taken away from you, and you will never have to think about that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's beautiful, sir. And yeah, appreciate everything you do.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
No, I've not started with the silent prayer yet.
What a beta. So how are you going to be free if you don't practice staying present?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that was a question.
I'm not. I think, you know, I have some type of pride where I, you know, like we like to, when we learn new information, we get a new way of being. Like I've been on this for maybe like a month and a half, 2 months now. We think that, you know, we have this thing where we're already there, right? But we're not, right? There's so much.
Come back to your phone. Come back closer to your phone. If you think you're there, you're not there, because thinking you're there is just another thought. In being there's no thinking. So do the silent prayer. Start rebuildingdemand.com/prayer, right, Jay? Rebuildingdemand.com/silent prayer.
Silent prayer, yep.
Start doing that.
Absolutely.
Because you're on your way. Sure. You're on your way. I want to encourage you, just become more and more aware of those thoughts. Don't call them you. Don't identify with them at all, no matter what the thought is. Don't identify with it. You're not your thought. They're not from God. All thoughts are all lies all the time. So stop identifying with lies.
Yeah, for sure, Jesse. Thank you so much for everything, sir. Really appreciate it. And yeah, God bless you. Really love the work you're doing.
You too, buddy. You stay with it, though, all right?
Will do. Will do.
All right. Take care now.
You too.
All right. 888-775-3773. I want to know what y'all think about this real fast. I want to play this for you. And I really want to hear whatever else you want to call about, you can. But I want to know what you think about this song, by if you are able to see it right now. There's this Detroit lady, a rapper. She sues Uber after driver denies her a ride. They're like, no, you're not getting your bad butt up in here. This is from Fox to Detroit. A Detroit rapper is going viral for something other than her music. Fans know her as Dank DeMoss. And they're fuming after a Lyft driver allegedly denied her a ride because of her size. Watch it from Fox 2 Detroit.
Well, it all unfolded on video. Deja Bamlin whipped out her phone when this all happened. Now, the Lyft driver, he was kind enough and apologetic, but refused her a ride and said that she would not fit and that her weight couldn't be handled by his tires. Now she's filing a lawsuit.
Have you been in cars that size before?
Yes, I have. I've been in cars smarter than that, you know?
Deja Blanding tells us she was just trying to get to a Detroit Lions watch party this month when her Lyft rolled up.
As I'm walking, I see him, like, making faces or whatever. I'm like, oh, man.
She already knew.
I can fit in this car.
No, believe me, you can.
Yes, I can.
Believe me.
He told her there's not enough room in his car.
The kicker part was when he started to talk about his tires. You know, I feel like that was a slap in the face. That was like my tires, you know, like.
The driver said his tires could not handle her weight.
Well, every big person, you turned down because they can't fit in your car?
Yeah, because they need to order the Uber XL.
No, I don't never have to order Uber XL.
He apologized, canceled the ride, and left her there.
Amazing. And the last soundbite for this is the rapper says she want P. people to know the situation really hurt her feeling. Oh, she wanted people to know the situation really hurt her feelings. Well, that's just from Fox 2 Detroit.
The rapper says she's pretty tough. I get the money and flip it and make some food. Dank DeMoss, as she's known at the mic, is crushed by the whole situation.
I just want them to know, like, it really hurt my feelings.
It looks like Lyf might be hurting pretty soon, too.
I knew it was illegal, and I knew that it was wrong.
Her attorneys, John Marco and Zach Runyon, say weight is a protected characteristic in Michigan by law.
It would be no different than a driver pulling up and saying, you know, I don't want to have black people in my car, or I don't want to have Christians in my car or Muslims in my car. It's the same. Under the law, it's the same.
The lawsuit is filed. Since she posted the encounter on social media, other full-figured folks have reached out saying that same thing happened to them.
I can fit in this car.
No, believe me, you can.
Yes, I can. I really want people to see, like, what we go through as bigger people, you know?
What do you think, Hey?
So she's suing Lyft, not Uber.
Oh, Lyft.
Yeah.
What, I said Uber?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is Uber driver.
I know, but then it says Lyft.
What the?
Driver. Okay.
Sorry for Lyft.
Discrimination is okay. And maybe it should be a wake-up call for her, I think.
What do you think, Nick?
That's pretty evil. I can see why she's fat. She got to eat. Huh?
What do you think about the fat Lyf said no to her?
About them saying no, I think that's totally fine. They should be allowed to do that. And then the lawyer said, this is like discriminating against black people. It's like you're saying you don't
they
want...
They always say black. They put black with everything that's evil.
You threw in Christian.
Yeah.
You must be kind of aware of the culture or something. But he said this would be like saying, I don't want black people in my car, but you should be allowed to say that too, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And so Joel Fry just said, if I don't want you in my car, then you can't get in my car.
Especially Lyft. Lyft drivers are poor, I think.
The man, according to the story, the guy said, I'm sorry, you can't get in. Well, you should call another car that's bigger or something like that.
Yeah, XL.
A bigger car. And she's going to sue the man because her feelings are hurt?
Not the man, but the
company. I mean, the company because her feelings are hurt? That doesn't make sense. How are you going to sue somebody because they say, I don't want you in my car? That's your car, your private car, your car, and you have a right to, if she was black, let's say she was stone black and fine.
She is black.
If the man said, I don't want you in my car because you're fine, but you're black, he has a right to do that. How are they going to pass a law that says you got to let somebody in your car? What's Grandpa tell me? I told you that the earth is evil because people made it evil. This is evil.
What's crazy, too, is that she comes off so soft-spoken and almost like she's a nice, this nice person.
Ain't nothing nice about her.
But that's like charming, like it's deceptive because you start to feel sorry for her and like almost want to go along with her.
No, you should not go along with that at all. This woman's wrong, and based on the story, she's wrong. And if she knew she was that overweight, that fat, she should have said, send a wagon with a cup of mules.
Shout out.
I'm like, 2 tons of fun. But they're going to punish the man or the company. What y'all think about this story? This fat woman was wrong.
Yeah, you can weigh down a car.
Yeah, you
pretty
can.
Pretty easily.
I wouldn't let her in my car. Not even in Trump.
She wouldn't fit anyway. Shout out.
Back in a moment. Back in a moment.
Treasure chest open on DLive.
Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women too when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, bro. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Country and Western Tuesday. The Hake Report coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after The Hake Report, Joy of Friday TV. He black. And after Joy of Friday TV, The American Anchor, baby. All right? Amazing lineup. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell. I don't say that a lot because I forget. Like, comment, and subscribe, and follow. And we're on rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, cozy.tv/JLP, where Christ is King. And X, JLP Talk on X. Hey, X. And Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. All right? And don't forget to support us. Go to rebuildingtheman.com. Tax deductible. Support us. All right? Super chat. Super chat.
Gabriel bought a coffee. Just answering this week's biblical question.
Are you a memory worshiper?
I do worship memories. I've done this since I was a child to escape my bad upbringing. But thanks to Jesse, I'm now able to catch myself in a thought and I'm like, oi, what the? Which has been a life changer for me. Thanks, Jesse, for all you do with the help of God, of course.
Amazing. Stay with it. Thank you.
WT1 over on Rumble is now a monthly supporter.
You got to know how to rumble.
That's cool.
Thank you.
WT1 says, hello to my fellow grafted in wild branches of Yisrael. Moaning, y'all.
They're moaning. Amazing. I love Israel. I really do. And you are making a mistake not to love Israel. How are you going to go to heaven if you don't love Israel? I rest my case. Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet with a rumble rant. Can we get some extra coonin' today, Unca Jesse friend? The world needs more coonin' and toms like a mug.
That's right.
Hank doesn't mind.
Amazing. Thank you.
Brandon with three coffees. Biblical question answer.
Are you a memory worshiper?
I used to worship my memories as my thoughts would bring me to them with Jesse's silent prayer and practicing being present. It has brought me back to the kingdom within. Although I may not have fully achieved it yet, perfect peace is possible. All thoughts are all lies all the time.
Amazing. Stay with it. Amazing. Thank you.
Easier done than said with three coffees. Church was amazing. Jesse, is the Holy Spirit consciousness? Love you, no homo.
Church was amazing. It's amazing every Sunday, but it was like, extra amazing on this past Sunday. Go to rebuildingaman.com/church. Rebuildingaman.com/church. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He is your teacher. Amazing. Thank you.
Easier done than said. Three coffees. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I already read that. Takashi bought a coffee. Question. Hello, Jesse. I moved to another country away from family. Start my own thing. New opportunities. My previous country, Germany, is so liberal. I made a mistake. Told my mother which country I moved to. Now she's trying to come visit me, and I told her no.
Nice.
She said, you hate me and you don't want me. I told her I'm not your boyfriend, and I had to block her. Tomorrow's her birthday, though. Should I unblock her to say happy birthday?
As long as you're not doing it out of obligation or guilt or any of that. Let's say you just want to say, hey, happy birthday. But there's no obligation to that either, all right? So do not do it out of guilt. That's not love. Amazing. Thank you.
Cornerstone Media Consulting with a Cash App. No message.
Thank you. Amazing.
Bond JLP on Cash App. Topias or Topias. Pardon me if I'm butchering your name. Why are so many alpha males are gay, he asks, or she asks, or it asks.
No such thing as a gay alpha male. What? Nah.
Indeed.
Amazing. Thank you.
A rumble rant from Commander Kim. Yes, Master Trump. We's so happy to be taking them all back. This is Columbia speaking. Thank you, Master, for sending them back. Columbia.
When the Master said he's sick, I said, yes, Master, we sick. Amazing. Thank you.
Old Roy on gab.com answering Jesse Lee Peterson's biblical question.
Are you a memory worshiper?
Unfortunately, yes.
I'll put my 2 cents on Sunday. Thank you. Amazing.
On Threads, Ordinary Pete responds but doesn't answer the question. Says memories lead to depression.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lin Yen Chin says Jesse is right. Keep your wife and daughters away from sway of family and friends.
Yeah.
But it's different for nostril breather boys age 8 to 12. Sapience detects lies and character flaws in others, letting us read and grow in our own sense of people in life.
And what's a nostril breathing boy?
Sane boys.
Huh?
Sane boys.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing.
Pastor Chatelet says with the rumble rant, when she fell down, I tried not to laugh, but the ground was cracking up.
Thank you. Amazing. I can't believe that female is going to try to sue somebody because they didn't let her in their car because she was too fat. And whatever the reason was, he has a right. And I wonder if she's suing for money. Because she know that person wasn't wrong for that. He has a right not to let you in the car, black people. As the anchor baby said, even if she was black. If it was for black, he has a right to do that, and he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Amazing. Don't let Trump hear that. He's going to write an order, one of those court order.
Executive orders.
Yeah.
Discrimination is now A-OK.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Commander Kim with the rumble rant. She should have called Lyft and asked for a horse trailer. That's mean.
What?
Might have been fun. Might be fun. A party horse trailer.
Thank you.
Nazulium bought a diamond. I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
I am that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Thank you.
Shout out to Nazulium.
Remember Popeye the Sailor Man?
Of course.
Amazing. Thank you.
Games for Rec, Wolf 336, Misty, Groovy Monkey, Thrustazar, Armian, and the rest of the supporters. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Thank you all very much. Let me go quickly to Florida and talk to Jack. Jack, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going, man?
All is well, Jack.
So I just want a little bit of advice. I'm in my early 20s. I've got like 2 classes left to get this degree. And I think I'm just going to enlist. I lost my mom a little bit about over a year ago, so it's taken me a year to come back. But Jack is back, right?
Right on.
So, what's your advice about? I mean, what do you think about enlisting in 2025 and stuff like that?
If you want to do it, now is the time to do it. But it's up to you, not because I said or anyone. If it's something you want to do, because now that Trump is back, and he seems put the right people in charge of the military. If ever there was a time that you would want to be a part of the military, this would be the time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, there's plenty of jobs where you don't have to, like, even fight and die in the military, right?
Right, so, yeah, absolutely.
How to decide what branch. Now, what do you think about, like, how do I reconcile? Let's say I do, you know, they tell me to kill people because of, like, whatever branch. Now, how does a Christian reconcile that in the military? You know, like, how does that work?
I don't understand the question. What do you mean, how does a Christian reconcile that?
Well, so if, let's say you're in the military and for whatever reason, you know, your job is to, like, shoot people, right? Like, just hypothetically, right? So how does, like, a Christian, like...
Are you a Christian?
You know, oh yeah, dude.
And why do you call yourself a Christian?
Because of my faith in Jesus.
Why can't Jesus. You have faith in Jesus without being a Christian?
Wait, what?
why don't you have faith in Jesus without being a Christian?
I don't get what you mean.
Do you have to be a Christian to have faith in Jesus?
Yeah.
Where do you get that from?
The Bible.
The Bible says you have to be a Christian?
No. Okay. So what do you want to call a Jesus follower? Like?
Nothing. Why can't you just follow him without any identity?
Yeah, I get that. But like,
But you didn't answer the question. Why can't you follow him without an identity? Because now you have attached this identity to yourself as a Christian, which is putting limitation on your life, because now you don't want to kill because you're a Christian, and when Christ made it possible for you to defend yourself.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense to me.
It doesn't?
No, can you say it again?
Christ made it possible for you to defend yourself. And sometimes in defending yourself, you have to kill. There's a time for war, especially when you're fighting your enemy. When you're fighting your enemy, would you kill your enemy?
It's like, how can I ever take another life and feel okay with it, ever, right?
When you're fighting your enemy, can you kill your enemy that is trying to kill you?
I mean, it's kill or be killed, right?
Are you able to kill your enemy as a Christian if your enemy is trying to kill you?
Yes, it's just difficult, right?
When you are fighting your enemy that is trying to kill you, as a Christian, can you kill your enemy?
I guess, yes. But like I said, it is difficult to kind of...
Why is it difficult to, if your enemy is trying to kill you, why would that be difficult?
Because at the end of the day, Jesse, I don't want to kill anybody.
If your enemy, meaning self-defense, why would that be difficult as a Christian to kill your enemy before they kill you?
Because it's not even our place to kill.
Who told you that?
I mean, you know, we can look at, I guess, you know, Augustine has his, like, seven justifications of war, right?
Who told you that it's not your job to kill?
I mean, if it's not self-defense, isn't it murder?
That's what I just said. If someone tried to kill you as a Christian, would you kill them first?
That's really hard to answer.
Why?
Because I don't think, you know, that it's really difficult to reconcile, like, any kind of killing, even in the military, as, you know, following Jesus. Like, I would rather convert people than kill them, right?
But you can't convert anyone.
Jesus came through me, right?
You can't convert anyone, but let me ask. In the Bible, Jay, what's the name of that guy where God gave a little slingshot to and he was able to kill?
David and Goliath.
God thought that you cannot kill as a Christian, why would he give David a slingshot to kill?
Yeah, so I guess it's, like I said, it's just difficult to wrap my head around that, you know?
So you can't wrap your head around the fact that God was okay with killing, but you're not?
Jesse, I said it's difficult.
No, I'm trying to ask, right. Why is it difficult to wrap your head around self-protection when God made it possible for you to protect yourself? And sometimes you may have to kill.
Yeah. Is there, like, any kind of commentary about that that you recommend that I can read or listen to?
Yes.
What is it?
Stay out of your head. You believe in lies.
Okay.
And if you're that concerned about being a Christian, the military is not for you. Unless you're going to go in there and be like a cook or maybe a computer guy, but even then they may need you to go out on the field sometime. If you're that emotional and that weak and that identified with this title of a Christian, then you should not go into the military.
Well, so for a little bit of reference, I've thought a lot about, like, a lot of different branches have their own special operations, and I think I'd be good with that. I mean, I've grown up with firearm safety, things like that. But I think if I went to the military, you know, I'd be fine with going the legal route, being a paralegal, being some kind of JAG, and getting all the same benefits, right?
That's the wrong reason to go into the military, though. Are you black?
No.
That's why those reasons you just gave are the reason that black people go into the military. They're going for benefits. They're not going because they want to protect their country.
So someone shouldn't go into the military if they don't want to fight?
No.
But what about all of the other office jobs?
What about them?
Somebody can go into the military, not want to fight, and get a military office job.
But that shouldn't be your reason for going into the military. You're supposed to go into the military to protect your country. In case you have to fight, you should be ready to fight. You don't want to be saying, well, I can't fight. I'm a Christian.
Yeah, I get that. And I do, like, I am okay with fighting and dying, right?
Right. Okay, you are then, so you're willing to fight.
Yeah.
Fight, fight, fight. And would you fight as a Christian?
Yeah. So one thing I was thinking about, too, was it's like, well, in the military, if you don't cuss enough, then you're not cool.
If you don't what?
If you don't cuss enough in the military, then you're not cool.
Who told you that?
Reddit.
You read that?
No, Reddit.
Oh, that's the name of a website or something?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, well, don't pay attention to that, man. You don't have to curse if you don't want to.
Yeah, it's just going to make you looked at a little bit differently in the military, right?
So why do you care about that? Why do you even think about that?
Well, because that's how advancement works and, like, getting promoted. And, you know, you got to, like, fit in to get promoted.
So you're not going to curse in the military? Do you curse now?
In private, yes.
So continue to curse in private in the military. If somebody beats you up, go home and curse them out.
Well, you know, there's that thing about...
Your breath.
So what now?
It's a commandment from Jesus to keep foul language out of our mouth, right?
Right.
So,
but don't be angry. Because of time, don't be angry. You'll be fine. You really, if you have to fight, you will. If you don't, you won't. But just stay away from anger. All right.
Okay, I'm going to send in that application. Okay.
Oh, okay. Make sure to rebuildingtheman.com. Right, Jay?
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, there's a contact page on rebuildingtheman.com.
Yeah, okay. Send the information. Thank you, buddy. Let me go to River out of Sacramento, California. River, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How's it going?
All the well, buddy.
Hey, yeah, I noticed we're pretty close to the end, so I'll make it quick. But
all right.
You know, I've called a few times and told you about my crazy grandma calling the cops on me a while back and all that. So I went and forgave my mother and told her about your show and, you know, gave you credit through God that you helped me forgive her and all that. And she called me yesterday and she was being kind of beating around the bush a little bit. And she starts telling me how you're like some false prophet and that I shouldn't be listening to you. And I asked her, I was like, well, what exactly makes you think that? And she starts, the devil comes out of her and she's not quite making any sense. And I just thought it was funny because I'm like, well, I use my inner peace. And I was like, well, what makes you think that? And she's just made no sense. So I just thought it was funny. I was
It is. Give her the finger.
False prophet.
Give her the finger and tell her that I've never said I was a prophet. Where is she getting that idea from?
Right? That's what I was thinking. Hey, I do have one quick other thing. So I had a girl I was having sex with out of wedlock there for a while. And the whole time I was feeling guilty and I wanted to break up with her so I could, you know, be right and all that stuff. And then she ended up breaking up with me because I was being a beta and I couldn't let her go. And now she's just all I can think about all the time. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm sure you're going to say just, you know, don't listen to the thoughts. But like, what's your advice on like breakup and stuff like that when your wicked heart's feeling like yearning for, you know, that the sex and stuff, you know?
Stop thinking about it. It's just a thought. And the thought bringing all those emotions. So you resist the temptation by not thinking about it. It's just thoughts. It's over when you have a relationship with her. You had it then. You don't have it now. And the thoughts are setting you up to want to get back with her in one form or another. Drop the thoughts and you'll be done with it because the thoughts are keeping you in the past. And there is no past. It's an illusion. And so just stay present and live your life now. But drop the thought. It's just thoughts.
I got to say, too, like, I know you're right, and that's what I got to do, but I just want you to know that, like, all the years I've been listening to you, how you talk about our thoughts are hell.
Yes.
Like, it made sense, like, conceptually, but until this breakup, I didn't really see the truth of it until I'm sitting here going, oh, woe is me, and coulda, shoulda, woulda about my past. And I'm like, Jesse's right. This literally feels like hell, all these emotions.
Yes.
It's brutal.
It's just thoughts, and they're all evil. They're all lies. And they're not from God, and they're not from you. God's thoughts are above those thoughts. That's low-level thoughts that you're – those are low-level thoughts that you're having, which are evil.
Absolutely.
So let it pass, and you'll be fine. It's just a thought. There's nothing true about it.
Gotcha. I appreciate you, Jesse. I'll let you go. Hopefully you can get another caller in real quick.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Mike from New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get right to it. So my question is really about the silent prayer.
Yes.
About watching the thoughts, right? And so, like, my question is, like, when these thoughts come up, you say, like, watch it like a movie, right?
Yes.
And so I just want to know, like, what is the limitation on how long do I allow the thoughts to, like, for me to watch them, or do I just kind of cut them off? Like, if an idea comes in my head about some situation that's somewhere in the future, do I, like, allow the thought to sort of just play out fully? Because you
yes.
think sometimes, okay, or do I, I guess the second part of that question is, or do I, when I realize that it's not my own, can I stop it right there and try to return myself back to the present?
Good question. Don't you try to stop it at all when you realize it's not yours. It's God, the Spirit of God, that is causing you to realize that. And let Him take them away from you so He can take them out of your mind, out of your body, and everything. And that way you'll be free from them and you'll never have to go through that again. Don't you do anything about it but watch them. And if you find yourself going in and out all day, go in and out all day. Or if the stock want to stay there all day, watch it, go about your day, live with it, stay with it, do nothing about it, and it will be taken away from you. The fact that you can see that you're thinking that way, that those thoughts are there, is the light of God, the Spirit, the truth, and He will take them away from you. Don't you do anything about it. You just need to see them. That's all.
Right on. Right on. If I could throw in a quick thing about my father and forgiving my father. I never knew my dad. My mother left him when I was very young. And I found out he died about a year after he had passed when I was in my 20s. And so you know how you say that you can't get to the father unless I've fully forgiven my own father, and I never really knew the man.
Right on.
And I want to make sure that I'm doing the right, my sort of due diligence in understanding how and why I'm forgiving him, even though I never knew him. I don't know anything about him. I don't even have a photo of him. I don't.
Can you call me back tomorrow or whenever?
Yes, sir. I will try to call you back as soon as possible.
Because this phone, we're going to get cut off. And of course, it's a serious question. I want to respond to it, all right?
Yes, sir.
Call me back.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I am so out of time, folks. I really am out of time. Get on that straight and narrow. If you want to be free, you can have perfect peace right here on earth. You don't have to be miserable anymore. All your sins have been wiped away. Time will be wiped away. All you will have is now. All right? Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. Right there?
/silent prayer.
/silent prayer. Forgive your mother and your father, and especially your mother, all human beings. Anyone think they don't need to forgive their father, you've been deceived. I mean, their mothers, you've been deceived. And your father, but especially mom, you've been deceived. All right? So forgive if you want to. Stay in your hell if you wanted to. Hate coming up now. Joel Friday after Hate. The American Anchor Baby after Joel Friday. Tomorrow is Manhood Hour. Take care, folks. Thanks for your super chats and everything. What are super chats in DLive? What is that?
Let me give you guys a quick rundown of the super chats. If you go to DLive.tv and you sign up and make an account in the little button that says log in, you'll have the option to get lemon. You'll see the button once you log in. Once you get lemon, which you pay real money for, you could use those lemons to super chat to our show. Lemon is about a penny. Ice cream is about a few more cents. Diamond is about $1. The Ninjagini is $10. And the Ninjet is $100. As soon as you click that button, you'll be given the prompt. You can write in your question. You can send it in. And you'll be able to donate to us and give us your super chat. And another way, which is pretty easy, and you literally just put in the amount that you want to send in and the message you want to write in, you go to jesseleepeterson.live. When you go to that website, you'll see right there, you'll be able to put in a username and you'll be able to put in your message and exactly how much you want to donate. And those are the two ways you can send in super chats into the show and support us.
Like my cousin, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, he thinks the whole, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on.
Yeah.
People want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you. Just because we don't have most guys that can, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you're going to see, man, God is with us and all is well.
Yeah.
Thank you, JLP.